it is a joy to be here in Wisconsin. I had to figure out where Mononomi it was. And my wife kept saying, it's in Wisconsin. I said, no, it's in Minnesota. I said, I don't know where it is. But I said, no, I would have to say that we got here Thursday night late. And we went outside and waiting for the shuttle to take us to the hotel. It was 45 degrees. I walked out with a short sleeve shirt, and I said, it's wonderful. I stood out there for a while before she broke out my little fleece, and I did wear that until the shuttle came after us. But I will have to say that I love cold weather. The last trip, everybody was down. We were talking around the circle. They had the wagons, you know, in a circle, and we were meeting out there in the middle, and they had my chair over there isolating me. I was a little scared of COVID, and so we were talking, and I invited myself to come up here. And they said, yeah, come on up, and everything. And so I had that opportunity to be able to be blessed by you guys for over these last several years, and it has been just wonderful. I can say that. When I first met the group at Suburban, I said, well, they look like normal folks. And then I met Brother Tim. It was funny. I said, he's the pastor. And so I didn't know what I was in for. And yet we have been able to see past the mask. You know, in New Orleans, they wear these masks and Mardi Gras and what have you, and you can't see what they look like and what have you. And a lot of people hide behind masks. But I was able to look beyond the appearance and be able to look at the heart and be able to know that, folks, we were brothers in Christ. And there was no doubt in my mind. And one of the things that we have been able to do is be able to look at what we believe. And I know that structurally we're a little different with Baptists and you guys. I know that the ones that were in the little seminar yesterday, you were saying, what's he talking about? You couldn't figure out where I was coming from. I know you go ahead and smile, laugh, and what have you, but I said, I know that structurally you're a little different, and yet in all of that, it's to be able to know that we have the same God, same goals, same vision, to be able to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that you wouldn't load up your little campers and pull it across the all the way across the United States to be able to get down to where we are and to be able to put up with the things that you put up with and be able to suffer through the heat of the summer and even the cold of the winter. And last time it got cold. I think there was a little ice around and so on and so forth, and they clustered themselves in their little campers, and I said, why won't they come out? It's beautiful. I said, they're from Wisconsin. My goodness, they ought to be able to take this. And so anyway, in Minnesota, yet in all of that, it's just been a joy to be able to get to know you and to be able to work alongside of you and to know that your heart is where my heart is. To be able to know that we've been placed here to make a difference. God has been able to touch my life so many years ago to be able to cause me to realize that He was God. But it was only when I was 19 that I realized that. At 8 years of age, what we have down south is revivals. I don't know if you guys have that up here. Now, I lived in Alaska for several years. And I will have to say, I say guys. Hey, you guys. And so I picked that up there. And yet in all of that, to be able to say that 8 years of age, we had this meeting that lasted, you know, a week or 2 weeks. And we had a special speaker that was an evangelist to be able to preach and to be able to try to stir our hearts to be able to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we did. And some still do that. It's becoming less and less an occurrence because I think that, you know, we get caught up in thinking that we're self-sufficient without God and we don't need our heart stirred. You know, when I put into my little form to be able to come here, I told them, I said, I'm going down there or up there to be able to do a revival. I'm going to try to stir their hearts. But I said, God will do a better job. And then all that, and then they approved it so I could come. And I had to say that the convention that I work for allows me to have 2 weeks where I can do missions and to go and speak. And so they allow me to do that. Then they give me 4 weeks of vacation. And I can go and do whatever I want to do. And I don't take vacations very much, but I surely like to do missions, to be able to go and to be able to do. I think that all of this was just instilled in my heart by my mother. My mother is Japanese, and of course, I know you've been praying for me because my mother passed a few months ago, and she was a dynamo. She was not 5 feet tall. She was just short. She is Japanese. And I'm going to say to you that when she was in Japan and during the occupation, my father met her. And yet there was another person that met her that was a Southern Baptist, a missionary that was there and that led her to Christ. And that she came back to the South and she joined Southern Baptist Church. And she was able to take the children and be able to raise us up in the church. My dad was a Primitive Baptist. You have any of those up here? I didn't think so. Well, they were primitive. Sort of like the campground, you know, with the outhouse. We had one of those. And yet in all of that, but they, you know, they were Calvinistic to such an extent that they're dying out because they don't believe in evangelism. They don't believe in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They just believe that God points them out and chooses them and to be able to say, okay, you're one of mine and you're not. And to be able to look at all of that, to be able to say, I don't believe that. To be able to say, I like what Southern Baptist says, that we are all sinners and falling short of the glory of God, and only by the grace of God that we're saved. And I believe that, and I believe that, you know, everything I've heard of you and be able to hear out of your mouth is that you believe the same thing. And I said, I agree that we are brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and that we have the same goals and same desires. And I say to you that I believe in the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us that we might be able to reach the world anywhere and everywhere that we go, that we might be able to touch the lives of people, to cause them to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. So my mother brought me up in church, and I was able to walk down the aisle at 8 years old with about eight other little boys and girls. And I remember the preacher, I was sitting right there, right where Adam's sitting, on that pew. And I'm going to say to you that that preacher got down there, and his name was Brother Lott. And he said, now, Mike, you love Jesus. And I said, well, yes, I love Jesus. I was brought up in the church. And I said, I will have to say, he said, that's great. That's wonderful. We're going to baptize you next Sunday. Now, I didn't know about that I needed a Savior. And I'm going to say to you, I didn't know that I needed to repent and turn from my wicked ways. I did not know that. And I want to say to you that I went from 8 years old to 19 thinking everything was fine. And folks, it wasn't. I was living my life just exactly like I wanted to live it, not like God wanted to live it. And so I simply say to you that at that time, that what God did was be able to get a hold of my heart to cause me to realize I needed a Savior. And I did give my life to Him, and He saved me, and He called me the next year to be able to go into the gospel ministry and to be able to know that I was able to do that despite of the fact that, man, I was scared to death to get in front of people and talk. Y'all can tell that, can't you? I have a witness. My wife was with me in high school, and I had to take a public speaking class. And I will have to say to you, I didn't do very well. But I remember that the Word of God said for Moses, He said, who made your tongue? And I want you to know I remember Aaron, who God gave to Moses to be a mouthpiece. And I want you to know that Aaron got Moses in lots of trouble because he didn't do it God's way. And yet in all of that, to be able to say that, you know, God was able to touch my tongue and help me to stand up. And I remember my first sermon that when they licensed me, I preached from Genesis to the Concordance. And it took me 6 minutes. I remember that. And I remember, I said, now, Brother Tim asked me, he said, now you got 40 minutes at least. And I said, ooh, they don't give me that long back down south. Oh, goodness. My mother showed me the way. She showed me the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only by word, but by example. I have to say to you that when God called me to preach, and we went, my wife and I, Suzanne, went to Alaska to be able to start a church there and to plant a church, and that we went up to at that time, and my parents took early retirement from teaching school, and they went to Belize for 3 years, and then they went to China for several years. I can't even tell you how many years that they were there, and then they wound up at the age of 80 as missionaries in Japan for 3 years. 80 years old. I remember the stories that they shared with us when they were in China. They were at Yangtai University. And I will say to you that in the winter time, when the students went home for in the break time, that it was just terribly cold. I remember the very fact was that it was so cold that, you know, that the university, they would shut off the heat. And they would, and the water would freeze, and there was only one place and down in the campus that you could go to be able to get water, and that they would come down. And you remember, they really were old. They were older than me. They were older than me. And that's old. I heard that somebody's 80, and I said, I thought I was the patriarch here. And yet, in all of that, I was looking around, and I simply say that they, in the 70s, you know, they came down and three flights of stairs, and to be able to go and get their water and carry it up so they could put it in their commode, to be able to flush it, to be able to have water to cook with. I remember that when we were in Alaska, that I had a parka, a long parka, and my stepfather was so tall and everything, but it was a gift from me from a guy that was about that tall, and so that it was long, and it was so warm, and I told him, I said, I want that back when you get back. Well, they were there several years, but he said that they literally took those parkas. Suzanne gave my mother one, and they wore them all day long, but at night they would put all the clothes that they could on, and they put the parka on and wrap up and was able to cover up and to be able to get in the bed so that they would be able to sleep. And they said, your parka is wore out. She said, we wore it out from the inside out because it was tough. You know, they were in their 70s. And they ministered. You know, I can say to you that I believe that even that the Scripture tells us in the Great Commission that the ones that we ought to be able to just simply say that said all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I look at that passage of Scripture, and I believe that it is the Scripture that I would call my Scripture, the Scripture that God has put into my heart to be able to enable me to be able to reach anybody that I run into wherever I go. We travel all over the United States to be able to do mission trips, just like you can come to Louisiana, we'll go to be able to reach somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. I took one group and down towards Montana, which is only 13 hours. I already checked that out for you guys. But we drove across a couple of days and got to Montana. And we were all along the way, we'd stop and we'd fuel up or we'd get something to eat. And I would be looking for an opportunity to be able to share Jesus Christ to whoever I meet. And I will have to say that our group had never experienced this kind of witnessing. And I said, the thing about it is, anywhere we go, and the scripture says, go, you go, to, as you are going, that you are to be able to be that witnesses, to be able to cause people that they might know Jesus Christ. And I know I'm not going to live there, but for that moment, perhaps that God would be able to get a hold of their hearts to cause them to know that there is a God in heaven and that they might be able to call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And then that God would be able to put those people in their lives to be able to nurture them. And I believe that's what the church is for. To be able to make disciples. And I was listening, and as I was cooking in the kitchen, and I was hearing Brother Tim, and he said, sheep make sheep. And I do believe that God's people must be able to nurture the sheep, the little lambs, that they might be able to grow up one day and that they might be able to have little lambs. I look and I can say that with all my heart. And so yet I was witnessing and they were listening. I remember one little girl saying, I never have been able to see anybody witness before. And she was a teenager. And she said, I so enjoy it. We went to Red Lodge, Montana. And there that we, the Bear Tooth Mountains, you go up that pass to get to the Yellowstone. And we went there to minister. And I remember going to the laundromat. And there was a girl there that she said, I'm an atheist. Well, I want to tell you, I came in the second group just to be able to go to see if there was anybody I could talk to about the Lord. And so they were all in there washing their clothes. And I sat down by the young lady that said she was an atheist. And I will tell you that we had a wonderful conversation. And everybody was over there and huddled up. And they were praying, asking that God would be able to touch her to cause her to realize that she would hear God and to be able to accept His Son, Jesus Christ. I have to say to you that we didn't get there, but I will have to say that she worked at the local counseling center, and she was taking a group there to meet at the church on Tuesday, and we was there on Sunday afternoon. And she said, I'm going to be there. Well, I want to know, we were leaving on Monday, but I had the church pumped because they knew Chelsea was coming. And I'm going to say to you that they nurtured and be able to was continue to work with her and knew where she worked and they knew where she lived. And I think that we have to be able to have that heart to be able to know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I look and I can say that I do what I do because I believe that God has called me to touch people's lives. Many of you know that I do disaster relief. Southern Baptist has probably one of the largest disaster relief organization in the world. And to be able to say that we try to do anything and everything, we do mud out. We're doing mud out in Lake Charles. Some of you have been there. That right now we had flooding here just about 10 days ago, and that again that it rained and rained and rained, and we have about 1,000 homes there that are that took water in, and then over in the Baton Rouge area there's about 600 homes that took water in, and some churches, and even now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this is Sunday, there's people from Ohio that's down there doing disaster relief work, taking furniture out of the house that has soaked in wet and carpet and sheetrock, and they taking all of this out because they like to do that. No. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken a couch that is sopping wet and bear hugged it? Two of you with everything you can do, or four of you to be able to get it out the door, to be able to call it to the street so that they can come pick it up. Have you ever rolled carpet up that's been soaked and to be able to drag it out to the street to take sheetrock that has fallen apart and it's so clean to be able to do this, to grab it up and to put it in the wheelbarrows and carry it out. Now, I've seen some of y'all dirty with sheetrock dust, but not with the mud and slime that you come in there and the stench that you work with the hot, wet stuff. The reason that we go is because we're wanting to find out those people, if those people who have been going through this trial, this disaster in their life, to be, if they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in that tender moment to be able to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to show them by our love, to be able to do the work, but yet to be able to open up a door to see if they might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to look for an opportunity, a God opportunity, to be able to touch somebody's life that they might call upon the name of Jesus. I said, that's why we do it. I said, that is our main objective, is to be able to do whatever. If it is to be able to do rebuild, like you guys are doing rebuild, to be able to try to touch people's lives. I have to say to you, I like working on churches. That's what I do. I'm a general contractor. But yet, and I like working on houses because I get to meet the people that are there and to be able to meet people that are going through like things around there and to be able to talk to them about Jesus. And it is our number one goal, is that we might share Jesus Christ while we're involved in disasters. That's what we're doing. And yet in all of that, to be able to say this, there's many people that come from different churches, from different walks of life, and folks that came from suburban, you know, they came. I didn't know them. I didn't know you. But I had to say that I got to know them. We sat around and ate our sandwiches in the little classroom and what have you. And they were able to ask questions, and I was able to talk to them. And I was able to find out who they were. One of the things I'd use as a tool is an acronym that says F-O-R-M, form. You got that? F-O-R-M. Everybody's got that? Easy, isn't it? Everybody will talk to you about family. Got any grandchildren? Let me show you, I've got grandchildren. You got any children? I'm going to say to you, where do you live? You talk about occupation. What do you do? Do you do that? You want to know what you do. I was trying to figure out who was who yesterday and everything, and I'm going to say to you, I finally figured out who Justin was. He was one of the men. The men. The higher-ups. And I'm trying to remember names, and it's so hard, you know, when you meet a group of 15 or 20 people and trying to figure out who they are and trying to imprint it in your mind who they are. But I will tell you that I simply know that you can open up doors by talking about family and occupation, and they will even talk to you about religion. You can talk about Muslims or Hindus, or you can talk about, you know, anything. And then you can talk about the differences in Christianity. I was listening to Ryan as he was talking to a young man at the coffee house, and I said, go get them. That's what I do. I try to find out who they are. Man, I tell you what, he had me pumped. I said, man, they do a good work. Man, that just bonded me with you guys. And all of that to be able to tell you that what we are looking at is that we have to be able to open up doors, and you can go in any area of those things and be able to find a door. Somebody might be able to have troubles with their families, and it will open up a door to be able to share with how you might have gone through that problem, and to be able to go with them to the Word of God, to be able to show them how that God has an answer for them. And see, that M is the primary thing that we want to get to, the message. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to know Jesus. I not only go in the United States, but of course I've shared with Brother Tim about going as one who is involved in foreign missions. I was asked several years ago to be on a board for a medical dental mission group, and so I get to go all over the world and to be able to go places I've never been before. And that's Star Trek, isn't it? Come on now. I look around and I simply say that, you know, when I look around and simply, I go to these countries and I'm able to meet people that speak a language that I cannot speak, and we hire interpreters sometimes, and sometimes our missionaries, they will interpret for us, but they allow me to preach, and I might be able and I have learned to be able to speak not using a lot of illustrations, because they don't know Southern at all. And so we have all these colloquialisms, and I said, oh, we can't do that. And I've learned to be able to keep it short, because I heard Brother Tim say you have to at least preach twice as long, and so you have to get a message that is half as long because somebody else is interpreting. And a lot of times I'm standing there and listening to them, and I said, did I say all that? I've been there, Brother Tim. That's a voice of experience. And yet in all of that, to be able to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and know that from every nation and every tongue, there are going to be those who are gathered in and gathered up one day. And we're going to be the family of God. I think about the scripture, and says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I know another translation says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I like that one. My family is really close. I'm going to say to you, it's really close. I mean, we want to be together. I got that feeling yesterday at the campground. They really want to be together, their family. I got that feeling when we were at the campground in Woodsworth, and they wanted to be together. They didn't want me, but I mean, they wanted to be together. they tolerated me. I know that they had sequestered for a couple of weeks together as a family to be able to come together, and I respected that, and I said, and I embraced them for that, to be able to be careful and to be able to protect themselves. But yet in all of that, I said, this is family. But what about heaven when we get there? I started to say, as I've said in some Assembly of God churches that I preached at, some African-American churches I said, I don't know about all this. I said, I don't believe there's going to be any of those Assembly of God people up there in heaven. And I had been invited because my daughter played fast pitch softball, and one of the girls that go there played with her at Mississippi College. And I was invited because the pastor had stepped out and he just trusted me with the pulpit because he was going to be away because of their vouching for me. And I said that, and you could hear people shifting. And I want you to know they started distancing themselves from me. And I said that in the African-American churches. I said, I don't know about these, the black folks making it up there. I said, only God's folks going to make it up there. And we're going to have eternity to be able to fellowship together and to be the family of God, to be able to room in the same house. Woo! I like that. To eat at the Lamb's supper table. I like that. Man, I really like this church when I heard y'all eat Wednesday meals together, Sunday meals together. I said, boy, I like to eat. I said, I can be a part of this church. I could do this. But the reason I could be a part of this church is because you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way we're going to get to heaven. And we have a mission, a plan. God's called us to be light and salt. You know, my prayer is that, you know, that we might be able to fellowship some more. Oh, we're going to get to do that in a minute. You're going to get to eat some jambalaya. I toned it down a little bit for you northerners. But I did bring another containers of Tony's. You can sprinkle it on as much as you want to. Yet in all of that, I said, the fellowship that is sweet here on this earth is going to be so much sweeter in heaven. And I want to take as many as I can. And my prayer is that you will just covet with me to commit together with me to be able to try to reach as many as we will have opportunity to be able to touch, to be able to show, to be able to shed the light in their lives that they might be able to see Jesus. You know, in the South, we do invitations. We let people stand up. They can come to the altar and pray. They can come and join the church. They can give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you do it here, but I'm going to say to you, the invitation is know Jesus. And I say to you, be busy till he comes.